Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is already in this place. And we ask you to just tabernacle a little while longer. Continue to manifest yourself through the preaching of your word. Let this preaching moment be just what you would have it to be. Hide me behind the cross, cover me with the blood, fill me with the Holy Spirit, cut loose my stammering tongue. Give me clarity of speech, that these your people, once more and again, might hear the living words of a living God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try to say something to the pastor and to the people. I want us to turn our attention to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, the prophet has written these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Then I want to jump down to verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." I want to talk about what I call when worship causes fire. When worship causes fire. I believe that God's preacher and God's people need to have some fire. There ought to be passion, and there needs to be zeal. We need to have some power, and we need to have some praise. We ought to say something, and we need to do something. We ought to make some noise, and we need to make a difference. We shouldn't be dry, lukewarm, and cold. We should not be nonchalant, indifferent, uncaring. We shouldn't be aloof, high-toned, and snooty. We shouldn't be too cute to say thank you, Jesus, and too high-minded to help somebody. But God's preacher and God's people ought to have some fire. When worship is real, there is a fire. When God starts to move, something starts to burn. When God steps in, a blaze comes forth. Something will catch on fire when God shows up. Hear me, nothing wrong with showing up like dry wood, because dry wood can catch on fire. I tell you what we need in the church is what we have in the text, fire. We do not need an order of worship. We need a worship that has fire. Yes. We do not need worship that pleases everybody. We need worship that ignites us all. We do not need worship that makes us feel good. We need worship that declares how good God is. We need worship that's full of fire. We need some praise that will cause the smoke alarm to go off. We need some worship that will cause holy smoke to rise up in this place. We need some worship that will melt cold hearts and ignite dry spirits. We need worship that causes fire. We need worship that warms us up and makes us burn. We need worship that moves from a flicker to a blaze, from a spark to a flame. We need worship that causes fire. Well, what we have in the text is someone who went to church and caught on fire. He went to the temple crying the blues, but when he left, he had running in his feet and clapping in his hands. When he went in, he was sad, but when he came out, he was eager. His sorrow was consumed by joy. His darkness was made to vanish because of the light of God's love. This brother has some worship that caused a fire. There was smoke in the building and fire on his lips. There was a blaze on the altar and a fire in his bones. This is worship that caused a fire. Look at it. Isaiah went from being faithful to religion to being fired up for the Lord. He moved from being a priest of the status quo to being a prophet for the Almighty. He moves from blending in to sticking out. He goes from a life of comfort to a life of purpose. Isaiah had a religion that caught on fire. He went to church and got burned by the fire. Isaiah was always religious, but now Isaiah is full of fire. Isaiah had always been moral, but now Isaiah has some power. Isaiah had always been a decent man, but now Isaiah is God's man. Before he only knew the law, now he knows the Lord. Before he only knew ritual, now he knows righteousness. Before he knew a prayer, now he knows how to pray. Isaiah had worship that caught on fire. He goes from being a parish priest to an ageless prophet. He goes from doing the mediocre to foretelling the future. Before he had limited duties and little expectations. Before he supported the status quo and went along with the program. Before he was basically an ecclesiastical pawn and a political puppet. Before he had little to say and his voice was rarely heard. No one knew his name and no one cared about his words. That is until he caught on fire. Something happened and things changed when Isaiah got burned by the fire. His personal life was altered and his spiritual being was changed. He spoke words of greater depth and his life took on a new dimension. Isaiah's life was changed when worship broke out in a fire. What we have in the text is the conversion of a preacher. This is somebody who knows scripture being saved. This is moving from membership to discipleship. This is going from knowing the law to serving the Lord. This is a preacher who undergoes conversion. Well, you see, every now and then somebody needs to be converted who already in the church. There are some folks who sit in the pulpit who need to be born again. You got some folks who sing the songs of Zion who need to have an encounter with the Almighty. You got some deacons and trustees who need salvation. Sometimes church folks need conversion. Oh, hear me, they live in a clean life, but they have no power. To everybody else, they are good people, but to the Lord, they are good for nothing. You never see them with the wrong crowd, but neither are they walking with the Lord. There are some church folks who need conversion. That's what we have in the text, a preacher who has conversion, a priest who is turned into a prophet, a brother of the times who is changed into a man for the ages. Isaiah had worship that caught on fire. Now hear me, this was not his first time in church, but this was the first time something happened at church. He knew his way around the temple, but this was the first time he realized that the Lord had shown up. Isaiah was always faithful to his religion, but now Isaiah has a fire in his soul. The brother has been set on fire. I don't think y'all hear me. A religious man has been converted. A man who knows the law has finally met the Lord. A denominational leader has come in contact with the divine Almighty. I tell you, we have some Christians who need to meet Christ. We got some folks who know the plan of salvation who need to come in contact with the Savior. We got some baptized folks who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need some church folks to undergo conversion. Don't you fool yourself. Everybody who acts saintly not saved. Everybody on the pew is not in the Lord. We got some church folks who need conversion. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. Isaiah tells us what happened. And Isaiah tells us when it happened. Isaiah had a traumatic experience that was a redemptive event. It was a personal revelation that leads to spiritual growth. Somebody said it turned his personal world upside down, but it also turned his spiritual world right side up. A man's funeral gave life to Isaiah's faith. Looking at a dead king helped him to see a living God. When he couldn't see King Uzziah, he was able to see the King of Kings. When he saw that men die, Isaiah realized God lives. Sometimes it takes somebody dying to realize God is alive. Sometimes it's only after you have been visited by the angel of death that you can receive the Lord of life. Sometimes it takes a good funeral to help cultivate good faith. Some of us not going to see God till some Uzziah dies. There's some good person we have substituted for a mighty good God. Because somebody is nice to us, we blind to the fact that God cares. There's somebody we look up to that keeps us from looking up to God. We got a friend that keeps us from the friend that sticks closer than a brother. An earthly daddy has eclipsed a heavenly father. Someone with earthly power blocks our view of a God who has all power. We got some Uzziahs that have to die before we can see a living God. We can't see a living God because we too focus on dying stuff. Worshiping the created blinds us to the creator. It was Uzziah's death that helped Isaiah see God. Isaiah says in the year that King Uzziah died. This is more than a date. This is a contrast. Isaiah does more than chronicle the time. Isaiah declares the experience. The death of a great king helped him to see the greatness of God. It took death to help Isaiah get a life. Look at it. Isaiah leaves the mortuary where a king is dead and goes to the temple where the King of Kings is alive. He leaves the graveyard where dead folks stay and goes to the temple where God is alive and well. After viewing a corpse, Isaiah had a vision of a God. He sees a changeless God when Uzziah's death brings about a change. See, sometimes, Mount Olive, life has to move you before you can see a God who will not be moved. When life has an upheaval, you can see a God who shall not be moved. To see a changeless God, life has to change up on you. Sometimes you need an earthquake to find out that God is a rock in a weary land. You have to find yourself helpless to discover where your help comes from. When life changes, you learn about a God who changes not. Sometimes to see the spiritual, there has to be a rupture in the temporal. We don't realize that the eternal is here until what is here falls apart. See, Isaiah didn't have a vision of what is to come. Isaiah had a vision of what already is. This was not a vision of the future. This was a vision of the now. He did not see that God shall be. He saw that God already is. God is never used to be, and God is never shall be. God already is. He's not a has been. He's not a will be. He's not a God who was, and he's not a God who will become, but God always is. What he was, he still is, and what he shall be, he is right now. Isaiah encounters a living God after he sees a dead king. A king had to die so he could see a king who can never die. A man had to lose his life so Isaiah could see the one who is the source of all life. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. With the death of Uzziah, Isaiah had a vision of God. All Isaiah used to see was Uzziah, but now all Isaiah wants to see is God. Uzziah died on him, but God came alive to him. Because he can't see Uzziah, he can now see God. God's preacher undergoes conversion. God's prophet is now being called. A divine summons is being issued. A heavenly subpoena is being served. The preacher's life is being changed and his cause has been redirected. Isaiah sees an exalted God and some worshiping angels. He sees the seraphim as they worship around the throne. They give God worship and they give God praise. They serve God and they adore God. They give him obedience and they give him adoration. Someone said with one word, they describe who they see and why they serve him. With one word, they tell who God is and what God is. They just need one word. Not a dissertation, but one word. Not a litany of cliches, but one word. Not a theological paper, not an ecclesiastical statement, but the angels describe God and reveal God with one word. All they say is holy. The only word they exalt, the only word they raise is holy. Their thesis is holy. Their subject is holy. Their text is holy. The 3 points in the message is holy. Oh, I tell you, when worship catches on fire, all you need is one word, holy. When you're moved in the worship and you don't know what to say, all you need is one word, holy. If you're not given to verbal praise, but you feel like you just got to say something, all you need is one word, holy. When you realize that you're being molded and shaped, and yet you're not sure how God is making you and remaking you, all you need is one word, holy. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's what God is, and that's what you want to become. That's God's nature, and that's your desire. That's God's isness, and that's your goal. All you need is one word, holy. The angels say that this living king is a holy God. But look at it. Not only is this God holy, but the angels declare the whole earth is full of his glory. No matter where you at and no matter where you're going, you can find God's glory. You're going to find it when you look for it, and you're going to stumble on it even when you're not looking. It'll be there when you see it, and it'll show up when you try and ignore it. The whole earth is full of his glory. The being of God and the essence of God is everywhere. His glory resides everywhere. His being is in residence all over the place. There's no place where God is not, and there's no place where God's glory can't be found. Wherever you look and wherever you go, whatever you touch and whatever you see, God's glory is all over the place. The whole earth is full of his glory. When worship is on fire, God's glory is in the place. And it's not that God's glory. It's not that God's glory shows up. You just realize that God's glory is in the place. It's not that the glory arrives. It's that you are aware that the glory is here. God doesn't need to show up. You just need to wake up. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's some glory. There's some glory. There's some glory up in here, and you don't even realize it. God's moving in the place, and you don't even see that God is on the premises. You want to critique the service instead of bowing down to the Christ. You got a chip on your shoulder instead of some praise in your heart. You don't realize that God's glory is in the place. People being blessed, lives being changed, and you can't see it. Folks being saved, somebody being healed, and you don't even notice. The Holy Ghost moving, souls being revived, and you can't comprehend. God's glory is in the place, and you don't even know it. You looking for glory, and glory already here. You waiting on glory. And glory already here. You trying to manufacture glory, and God's glory all over the place. You think you the keeper and custodian of the glory, and God's glory is already loose in the land. The angel says the whole earth is full. Help me, Holy Ghost, of his glory. I tell you, when you see God's glory, that's when worship has caught on fire. Isaiah sees the Lord as a living God, high and lifted up. Isaiah hears the angels say, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah realizes that the whole earth is full of his glory. And that's when Isaiah's soul catches on fire. That's when one of the seraphim took a live coal from off the altar and placed it on his lips. That's when fire touched his lips and purged his soul. That's when Isaiah's soul caught on fire. I hear the preacher say, then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Jeremiah had a fire in his bones. Isaiah has a fire on his lips. Now hear me. A fire will burn and a fire will disturb. Fire can warm you and fire can burn you. Fire is power and fire can be pain. There's something about real worship, Mount Olive, that brings power by way of pain. When you're in the presence of the divine, there will be a disturbance. When the Almighty shows up, there will be a little discomfort. You can be in the pulpit or sitting in the pew, in the sanctuary or in the hallway. It does not matter. You will be disturbed when you're in the presence of the divine. When Isaiah encounters a righteous God, Isaiah is disturbed with his comfortable religion. He's in the presence of the Lord. And look at it. God does not give Isaiah an order of worship. God did not make him the head usher or give him the hymns for the morning. God did not tell him to welcome the visitors nor to sing on the choir. What God did was put some fire in his mouth. God made sure that Isaiah's soul caught on fire. God brought deliverance by way of disturbance. I tell you, when worship is real, something ought to happen to disturb you. You ought to see God. And you ought to see yourself. You ought to see who God is, and you ought to see who you ain't. You ought to see that the Lord is high and lifted up, and you ought to see that you are low down and underhanded. You ought to see that God is holy, and you ought to see that you are undone. When worship is real, there ought to be a disturbance. Worship is not about your comfort and your pleasure. It's not about what makes you happy and what makes you glad. It's not about your desires and your delights. But when you worship the divine, there ought to be a disturbance. Someone said that the object of worship is to let you know that God loves you just the way you are, but he will not leave you the way that you is. Worship ought to alarm you that things will never be the same again. Worship ought to let you know you can't go back to business as usual. Worship ought to make you squirm in your seat, change your habit, and change your attitude. When worship is real, there ought to be a disturbance. There ought to be a restructure and reorder. There ought to be a change in your outlook and a change in your behavior. You ought to stop what you're doing and start doing what you should. You ought to move in a way you never moved before. You ought to be behaving in a manner that's foreign to you. So when worship is real, there is some fire. Something ought to happen on the inside that makes you different on the outside. Worship is when you stand in the presence of God. My job as a preacher and my role as a pastor is not to be a substitute for God. I'm not supposed to stand in the place of God, but my job is to usher someone into the presence of God. I'm not supposed to explain God. I'm supposed to help you encounter God. I got to do more than speak for God. I got to help you and God start talking to one another. My job is to help lead you into the presence of God. Come on now, no need to come in the church if you never come to God. What good is it to show up every Sunday, yet God never shows up in your life? Why are you going to sing on the choir and there's no melody in your heart? You ought to show up looking for God's presence. You ought to praise him to invoke his presence. You ought to be on the hunt looking for his presence. Why are you going to come to God's house not looking for God? Why are you going to sit in the sanctuary not seeking a savior? Why show up with a closed mind, folded arms, and crossed legs? Why sit there like you dare God to make his presence known? But when you come to church, something ought to happen. Somebody's soul ought to catch on fire. A fire. A fire. A fire on your lips will make you open up your mouth. A fire in your bones. We'll put running in your feet. There ought to be some fire in the worship. Isaiah's soul caught on fire. I'm going to be through when I quit. Help me, Holy Ghost. Isaiah's soul caught on fire. Somebody said, Somebody said God puts fire on Isaiah's lips, and God caused fire in Isaiah's soul because God had his attendance but not his attention. Isaiah was in the building, but Isaiah was not in the Lord. See, God wants more than your attendance. God wants your attention. It's not enough to show up. You need to wake up. It's not enough to pay up. God wants you to get up. It's not enough to attend church. God wants you to have church. God wants you to pay attention. Forget your problem. Focus on the problem solver. Take your eyes off the pastor. Turn your attention to the gospel. Stop trying to be seen and start seeking God. Don't just attend, but pay attention. And I tell you, God knows how to get your attention. God knows what to do to get your attention. Help me, Holy Ghost. God knows what to do to make you listen and to make you learn. You can't do nothing without God's help. You can't make it without God's power. You have no joy without God's presence. You have no future without God by your side. God's not satisfied with your attendance. God wants your attention. Well, I tell you, there's something about worship that ought to reshape you and redefine you. With worship, there ought to be restructure and realignment. There ought to be revival, and there ought to be refinement. Something ought to happen in here to help you deal with what's out there. Something ought to take place up in here that makes you a better person when you leave here. Don't be like the testimony of some. I came to Jesus as I was and left just like I came. But when worship causes a fire, there will be a change. Come on now. What good is religion that can't help bring about a change? What good is hearing about heaven and you don't have any help catching hell on earth? What good is a salvation that can't help me pay my bills? What good is a religion that saves part of me when most of me is being destroyed? I need worship that catches on fire. Well, Isaiah says, then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. God received Isaiah as he was. Then God changed Isaiah into what he ought to be. He didn't have to change to come to church. But there was a change after church. He didn't have to dress up to go to church, but he had on righteousness when he left church. When he went to church, he had religion. But when he left church, he had been refined. God used fire to help Isaiah so he could use Isaiah to help somebody. Well, sometimes when you're in the fire, that's when you're in the Lord. Sometimes when God wants to shape you, he puts you in the fire. When he wants to get something out of you and do something with you, he puts you in the fire. Moses had some fire, a bush burning that wouldn't burn up. The three Hebrew boys had some fire, had to walk in a fiery furnace all night long. Jeremiah had some fire. It was like fire shut up in his bones. Job has some fire. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Sometimes for God to use you, he first has to burn you. He will not burn you up, but he will set you on fire. Well, when worship is real, there will be some fire. When God starts moving, something will start burning. When the Holy Ghost comes, there will be some fire. You need fire in you so you can cause fire around you. You can't set nothing on fire if there's no fire burning on the inside. There just ought to be some fire. The church ought to be an incendiary fellowship. God doesn't want us cold, and God can't use us when we're frigid. We can't make it with a sanctified chill. We can't be spiritual or be a spiritual North Pole. We don't need icebox deacons and refrigerated preachers, but what we need is some fire. What we need
is a burning and not just a learning. What we need is some fire. When the Holy Ghost comes, there is some fire. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God that I got some fire. My soul been set on fire. My bones been set on fire. I got some fire. I got to praise his name. I got to preach his gospel. I got to tell the story because I got some fire. I can love my enemy. I can help somebody because I got some fire. I can hold out. I can hold on because I got some fire. I can run the race. I can stay in the battle because I got some fire. The Lord set my bones on fire. I thank God for my fire. I praise God for my fire. I love the Lord for my fire. I serve the Lord with my fire. I thank God. Let my soul been set on fire.